The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander. Kelly is behind the glass because we're getting ready for Unscripted with the Crackman, Bill Krakenberger. Just one tweet here before we get into it. Torch D, the one who put the satin in your panties, said, Draymond Green is a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he will be a media all-star. The guy is fascinating. I wouldn't say Kurt held his career back. Kind of absurd. Yeah, kind of. But he may have been a more prominent feature on a different team. Ooh, Torch D, we were in agreement until the end of that. One, I agree he's in the Hall of Fame. First ballot, I don't know. He's in the Hall of Fame. No question. In fact, I took incoming for many years because I said Klay Thompson and Draymond Green are going to be in the Hall of Fame. They absolutely are going to be in the Hall of Fame. They won four championships, and they were key cogs of the Warriors' wheel outside of Curry. So that I totally agree with, and I've said it all along. Will he be a media star, all-star? Yeah, I don't know about that. I really don't. And would he have been a more prominent feature on a different team? Sure, on a team that finished maybe 20-62, if they made him a prominent feature. I just feel like there is no person like him in any other sport. So valuable to in a Hall of Fame career, to four championships. But if you place him on another team, what does that really translate to? I can never prove it. You can never prove it. But it's just one of the interesting questions. But I do agree with the Hall of Fame part. Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger. Let's do it.
Morning,
Billy.
And last night, great meal. The reason why I bring it up right away is because it's kind of a gem that people didn't know about in this town. I think it's one of the best steakhouses in town.
Yes.
Right?
You're referring to?
Bavette's at Park MGM. Uh-huh. I love the music, the silent, like the nice little jazz music. It's pretty dark in there. It used to be real dark. Like you said, you wouldn't be able to see your menu.
When it first opened,
right?
You needed a lantern to see the person across from you.
Wow, I kind of like that.
We would laugh uncontrollably. Now it's a little more lighter in there. It's still dim, but it's a little lighter in there. But
food is great.
Thank you for dinner again.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, no, isn't that great? And
steaks consistently good.
Steaks are great. Burger. Oh, the bread.
The bread is the most glutinous bread in town.
Yeah. You see what I still do? I grab the inside out. And
that's
and
what I do. I just
want a little bit of the crust.
Me too. You know, that's exactly what I do.
You know, that's the old...
The wedge salad with the bacon.
That looks great.
Dude, I haven't stopped thinking about it.
And where did we go the night before? I forget.
The night before we went to Lago.
Oh, Lago, which I've never been to. Yeah,
Bill and I are not skimping on meals here.
Sorry. Lago. Sorry, guys. It's good for people to know where to go, though.
Yes, Lago at...
Lago at Bellagio. It's fantastic. Give the girl like $5, $10. And go at 5 o'clock, right when they open, and get right by the window.
That's right. That was great. I'd never been there before. I had, but at the tabletops in the front,
me
so
either.
Not really.
Yeah. I thought the food was great there.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic.
Okay. Man. Well, I was just outside.
You're a good man, Bill.
Randy McKay was outside talking to me just now.
Yeah.
He went to the game last night. He sent me a couple photos, and it was right against the glass. I said to Randy, wow, you had a great seat. He goes, I was with Derek. So
yes.
I wasn't thinking that's Derek's box right there. I wonder why. Is that right against the glass?
So Derek has seats right behind the goal. Behind, I want to say it's the east. Well, I don't know. If you're looking at the TV broadcast, I think it's the one on the right, but don't hold me to that. But anyway, it's front row.
Okay.
And, yeah, I went once where there was a VSiN group. It was VSiN. I went VSiN Team B night, I believe it was. They had a Team A night and a Team B night. But they were nice enough to invite us all.
Nice.
And it was spectacular.
They do a great job, too, the Golden Knights, of getting the fans into the game, getting the kids into the game. It's a great venue.
Oh, yeah. The thing about that, those seats, though, they're so good that when the game first starts and you're not used to it, you know, these guys are shooting at the net, and they'll more often than not miss.
Yes.
And it'll hit the glass right in front of you.
Yeah.
And at first you're like, whoa, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And that happens, and imagine before the game starts when they're just whacking at it, right, trying to get in there.
Sure, sure.
And it's like you're under fire.
I've been to maybe a dozen hockey games, one in Florida and about 10 here, I'll say.
Yeah.
I've never seen the puck. Does the puck sometimes go over the glass? I would think it would.
Oh, yeah,
like
absolutely.
Hit the glass and pop over it.
Oh, of course. Hockey is the same as baseball. Think about all the history of this country, how we went all those years, all those decades, where the netting at a baseball game only extended a certain amount down the foul lines.
Yes.
And how in hockey, the pucks were, you know, they flew out into the stands all the time.
Oh, okay.
Before safety restrictions were sort of put in place.
You get killed by one.
How did more people not get killed?
100 miles an hour. I mean, these things come at you.
I remember in an Orioles game, dude, two seats next to me got hit by a Cal Ripken line drive in the chest.
Oh.
Took him like three innings to recover.
Wow. Wow.
And he didn't get the ball.
He didn't even get the ball.
Bounces on like 10 rows down. I was like, thank you.
I see all these videos of people stealing the ball from kids, stealing the ball from females.
So bad.
These wackadoos. Speaking of wackadoo, Randy got a little wackadoo last night.
Okay.
He said, I'm recovering. I said, from what? He said, I was drinking all night. I didn't even know Randy drank. I really didn't realize he even drank. And
you mean that slow drawl of his is not
It's slower.
Yeah.
It's slower this morning. Yeah, he's feeling it. But, you know, one thing about advantage players, they just take advantage of everything. So drinks are free. Just keep on giving me them. Sorry, Randy. I don't mean to put you on blast here. Get the free drinks.
It's the principle.
Get the value.
It's like Fezzik. It's the principle.
It's just the principle. Got to do it.
That's but, so great.
Yeah, so, yeah. So and then he just told me it's good for you to drink. I said, what? This is good for you to drink. There's a lot of good things that come out of drinking. So I may start.
In moderation, boys and girls.
Yeah.
That's not health advice we're giving.
Yeah. No. And I just think that, especially in a gambling setting, I think drinking leads to bad behavior, you know, because you feel like a superpower.
Of course.
You know, that comes over you. And, you know, I just don't think gambling and drinking mix.
Not
but
only,
I understand every casino does it and has it, and I get it.
Not only superpower, but imagine, like, how irrational people get when they lose a bet.
Yes.
Like, it's always
it's different.
It's always a conspiracy against them. The refs did this.
You know, and I'll tell you another thing. Without drinking even in the mix, you put it in the mix, it's even going to be worse. But poker players, or I'll say gamblers in general. Let's use gamblers in general. They mistake luck for skill. They actually think that they're skilled at something.
Right.
It makes them want to come back. Or, I always say it, if you're watching a game, you know, your eyes play tricks on you, you're always thinking, oh, I should have won that, because you're only looking at the game from the way you bet it. It really is amazing how, especially in poker, World Series is coming up here at the end of the month. I believe it starts the end of May. And people really think that they're much better than they are at poker. And they mistake that one lucky tournament when they, you know, where you have to, I guess you have to come over, like, you have to overcome, I mean, you have to overcome, like, you know, many, many different situations to get to a final table. And you actually think that you were a coin flip that you won.
Yeah.
In theory, it's really a coin flip that you won. You know, you were 52% or 50% or 58%, and you keep on winning the 58%. So that you're not supposed to win the 58% 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times.
Right.
But they say they'd feel that, I'm lucky. I'm actually very good. This is not luck. I'm skilled.
I say it all the time in Survivor, in an NFL Survivor. It's like the person that gets to week 17 doesn't even process like how some people play it.
Perfect.
And are willing to risk it all in weeks 4 and 5. Like they don't even, they think they're so much, they think by virtue of the fact that they've gotten this butt lucky the whole way through and that you played it a different way, that they are just so good at this, right?
Yes.
I'm like, oh yeah,
yes.
You're really skilled. Man, you're the best Survivor player. No, it's you had 55 entries and then you happened to play it well down
that's
the stretch.
That guy.
Yeah, there's that.
He had two. Did that person have two entries that made it? He's a poker player. He had two entries that made it to the end?
Yeah, he wasn't the original, though. He invested in him. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. Okay. Can we set up? So we're usually unscripted, typically.
Yes.
But we did get into a conversation last night.
We did.
And so we do have a guest coming up the next segment. Would you like to sort of set this up for us?
Paul Matisse is one of the best horse, one of the best horses. I'll just be honest here. I'll just be blunt. Him and his brother, some of the best horse racing syndicate guys in the world. They controlled markets. They were very, very sharp at what they did. They beat horse racing. Personally, about 20 years ago, got me thrown out of a racetrack. It's a long story. I'm sure Paul probably doesn't even remember. He's been, by the way, they didn't get thrown out for doing anything wrong. They got thrown out for using their brains.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was also part of that. So Paul beats horse racing. I always put down horse racing because of the takeout, 20%, 25%, the gimmicks and stuff. It's ridiculous, even higher than that. But if you are good at this, which there's not many people that are good at this, horse racing is the downfall for so many gamblers. I mean, look at all the broken down people that have bet horses their whole life, just not even realizing why they lost, They're just destitute, broke, and go from check to check. And I understand it. Guess why? I was one of them. I used to go to Monmouth Park when I was a kid. Meadowlands when I was a kid. I didn't even know it was 20% hold. I didn't realize sports is like 4% compared to that. Yes, Paul and his brother, some of the best in the world. However, I believe Dukes, his brother, they're both on Twitter. Dukes made a post under one of mine that says he hasn't bet a horse in a year. And it's due to these CAWs.
Yes.
So it's due to these
computer-assisted wagers.
Yes. So we're going to find out more in this next segment with Paul. I look forward to I haven't talked to him about this at all. We're going to talk about it for the first time here live on VSiN in about 10 minutes or so.
Because what we got into in the conversation last night, and I don't know if you noticed this, I was having trouble getting the answer I was looking for from our lovely company last night.
Yeah.
Because essentially what I was trying to get at was what is this going to cause bettors, horse racing bettors, to stop entirely in many cases from betting horses? This advent of computer assisted wagering, which essentially we had it on a grand stage over the weekend, where folks thought they had odds on a certain horse that I don't know what it was. The exact number was, I want to say 12 to 1. Don't hold me to that. But essentially what they ended up getting in the end was far less than
5
that.
To 1.
5 to 1.
Unbelievable.
So
live on TV, people seen it.
How does the racetrack handle this? Do they care?
I don't think they care. We're going to find out.
And what I was looking for last night was, what's the explanation they give, though?
Right.
Because when
I go in
and they spin the odds on me, they make up something. They're like, oh, somebody on the other side of town must have just bet it right at the same time, which is, bull. Paul Matisse next on A Numbers Game. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Smarter bets start here and last all year long with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, get our annual subscription, normally $240, for just $199. And when you sign up today, we'll throw in 2 extra months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro for less than 50 cents a day with promo code PRO. Get access to our daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all our special edition betting guides for every major sport throughout the year. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code PRO. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. This gentleman and I have done this sort of series, if you will, for about a decade and a half now. It's the quarterly derivatives MLB betting podcast that we normally do, but we decided we'd do it on a numbers game, and we'll repurpose it for a podcast this time around. It's Mark Borchardt, everybody, Base Winner, at Base Winner on Twitter, basewinner.com, and of course, one of the hosts of the BetUS baseball betting show as well, which they do weekdays. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Mark, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Gil. I'm amazed at what's going on this year in baseball. It's really, I'm having not a great year, like from a betting standpoint, but it's interesting to see, and we'll get into it as we go over this, kind of what's going on in baseball, this at least for the first quarter of the season, Gil.
Yes, for the first quarter of the season. Again, what we try to do here, we do it at the roughly the 40-game mark, the 80-game mark, and the 120-game mark, is we go over some broad betting stats that are widely available, best money line teams thus far for the better, best run line teams for the better, best umpires in terms of over under. Mark has historical numbers on the umpires, so we'll see if those check out. We'll talk about the starters that if you back blindly have given you the most money. But then we get a little more proprietary with first 5 inning stats and first inning stats for pitchers as well. Before we get into any of that, Mark, real quick, because Kelly and I were just going over most regular season wins. Dodgers were the short shot. Yankees were right behind them. And I sort of off the cuff said I thought the Yankees were the best value. You actually ran numbers on this. What do you have?
Yeah, I've got, it's real top heavy. I got the Dodgers at 38% to have. This is best record, 38%. And then the Yankees, 34%. So however that translates into whatever market you're betting, that's 38 plus 34, Gil, 72% of the time, it's going to either be the Dodgers or the Yankees. So, and which would make sense with where they're sitting right now. And all their component ratings.
Yeah, we're showing Dodgers plus 115 for most regular season wins. By the way, most regular season wins, best record, really, you know, really ultimately the same thing. Yankees plus 255. So I think I stand by what my my instinct was. Yankees probably the best value based on your numbers.
Well, and these, you know, you're based on the base winner numbers. Your analysis is spot on. In fact,
what do I win?
You're getting plus 250, and it's, I think it should be plus 194. So you're right on fire.
I'm gonna give you a bonus. I'm gonna guess the Yankees lost yesterday.
Yes, they did.
They are out to plus 310. Even smarter right now.
Even better. The only point, again, we'll just say this before we launch into this. The only point is, do you really want to have this bet for 4.5 months? That's really the only calculus you need to make. Is it worth it to you? Maybe it is. Maybe it is worth it to you to have that. All right, Mark, let's do this. A tradition unlike any other. This extends even further back in time than the Megapod. This is the only thing that is earlier than guessing lines in the Megapod are these quarterly baseball things, which you did on the Beating the Book podcast and, of course, Betting Dork before that. Most profitable teams in baseball thus far this year. And again, the point of this exercise is, what is just narrative of what's happened? What is perhaps predictive moving forward? So thus far this year, I always throw it to you what your numbers say, because I'm curious if they differ with the ones that we're citing. If you bet this team blindly, this is this bizarro exercise. If you bet this team blindly as a favorite or dog every single game this year, what would be your net result? And your number one team in baseball this year thus far is?
The Rays.
The Tampa Bay Rays, as we have it. We'll throw up the graphic. This is courtesy of covers.com. These are based on $100 bets. The Rays, who are 24-12, would have netted you just over 10 units. So again, blind bizarro exercise. You bet the Rays every single game. Doesn't matter what their price is, dog or favorite. Because they've been a dog so many times or been low favorites, they are your biggest net winner, closely followed by the St. Louis Cardinals. That checks out for you, Mark?
Let's see what I got, Gil. Sorry. Cardinals are three.
Who's your two?
Two are the Braves.
Okay. Covers has the Braves listed four. Again, these are going to change because these are going to be different because some people are going to bet the favorite to win 100, and some people's stats are betting the favorite 100 to win less than that if they're the favorite. So they're going to differ a little, but you get the idea. Rays and Cardinals.
Yeah, Gil, I just want to take this opportunity because I use Killer Sports, Carl Sack over there, NBA guru. I love this guy. Whatever he's doing over there, keep doing it.
You know what he does? He runs an NBA Killer Sports contest in the playoffs. It's fantastic, Carl Sack. Rays, Cardinals, the question.
There are some good people in the industry, Gil. There really are.
Carl, salt of the earth, one of the best people in the industry. The Dr. Bob coaching tree, if you will. Rays, Cardinals, sustainable or not?
I don't think so. I mean, this is what I wanted to get to. So you have the top five payroll teams, two of the top five payroll teams we'll talk about in the worst teams, but these are the bottom five payroll teams: Rays, Cardinals, Nationals, White Sox. I can't remember the other one off the top of my head, but my point is, two of the bottom five payroll teams are the top in ROI. I don't think that's going to continue. There's some correlation numbers that I ran this year, and it's like there's no correlation between payroll and wins. As a matter of fact, I just wanted to say this because I thought it was super interesting when I did it. If you look at the top five payroll teams this season, their average wins are 18.8 and 19.4. The top five average wins are 18.8. The bottom five payroll teams average wins 19.4. So that's what I thought was really interesting. If you look at last year, full season, top five payroll teams won an average of 96.8 games, bottom five, 78.2. So it's been a weird season where these bottom teams, at least from a payroll standpoint, are overperforming, and the top payroll teams are underperforming, Gil.
Yeah, and again, that's why we do it at the 40-game mark, roughly, right? I'm going to be off next week, so that's why we're doing it a little early this year. you're going to see some more anomalies than you would, say, at the 80-game mark or the 120-game mark. By the way, the worst ROI teams thus far this year, again, bizarro exercise, you bet them every single game, dog, favorite, whatever. The New York Metropolitans, per covers.com, they would have hemorrhaged you the most money at this point, over 11.5 units to the negative. Is that what you have as well?
Yeah, it's 14. Like, if you bet against them, you'd be ahead 14 units if you just blanket bet against the Mets. And then the next team that I have is the Blue Jays, which I mean, those are two top five payroll teams, right?
Well, and this also makes sense, right? Because the Mets, Phillies, and Blue Jays, which we have listed 1, 2, and 3 here as the worst in terms of money hemorrhaging, they were all expected to be really good baseball teams, and they have all had rough starts to the season, although the Mets and Phillies certainly started to turn it around in May. Let's just do the run lines as well. Do we have the run line graphics as well, guys, or do we have those for that? Run line, which
no,
is
I just did money line.
Okay, I'll do the run line here, just off the cuff, which is sort of the de facto power rankings, if you will. If you're a favorite, you're a favorite by 1.5 runs. If you are a dog, you are a dog. Of a half run here, and the Orioles. Oh, we're sure. Well, that's a different thing. That's a different graphic. Let me just go to the run line itself. If we did it on the run line, what do you have as the most profitable run line teams thus far this year, Mark?
I got the Braves, Gil.
Yes, it is the Atlanta Braves by far, over 16.5 units of the positive on the run line. So when they're beating you, they're beating you big. When they're losing, sometimes they're losing tight ones. I have them following the Braves. It's the Yankees for me, and then the Rays.
It's Yankees, Rays for me, too.
Yeah. Man, again, Yankees, same thing. Rays, well, even on the run line, doing really well. Worst run line teams in all of baseball. None of this will surprise. The Mets, the Giants. Oh, no, pardon me. It's the Phillies by far.
Wow.
Phillies by far, pardon me. Mm-hmm. Over 18 units down on the run line. But then it is the Mets, the Giants, the Mariners, somewhere in that group of teams on the run line. Anything there surprise you? I guess just the Mets and Phillies.
Yeah, the Mets are a big surprise. Like, they've got one of the highest payrolls in baseball, and they've been, and of course Soto was hurt, so he's the best hitter in baseball by my rating. So he's hurt for 3 weeks or something like that. But even so, they're significant underperformers, Gil. I think that's going to regress. I think that the talent there is going to show itself.
Okay. Real quick, just in terms of these are, if you just blindly bet pitchers, we just sort of say this to ourselves just because it amuses us. But if you blindly bet Davis Martin of the White Sox this year or Martinez of the Rays, those are the most profitable starting pitchers. Just randomly, if you had bet them when they were on the hill to start games for the White Sox and Rays this year, they are your biggest gainers. I don't think there's anything to that. I think you would probably agree with me that it's just sort of how that's worked out for those two pitchers, would you say? Or do you think there is something to that for those two?
I don't. Yeah. I mean, you know, Davis Martin a little bit better. He used to be so bad. All you could really do with this was just go Rat Pack jokes with him. You know, Sammy Davis, Dean Martin, and that's about all you could do with a guy. But now he's showing a little bit of like utility, maybe a league average pitcher, right?
Tanner Bibee, the worst, backing him blindly for the Guardians. We'll come back. We'll drill down more next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, alongside, we get tweets of beating the book. Matt Warrior 013. I hate it when someone takes their balls and goes home. Yeah, that's what Clara Towson did. Larry Fresh says the only walkover acknowledged. He's got the meme of Iverson.
Didn't want to interrupt you, but I think it's anniversary day.
Is it?
For practice.
Oh, for that
speech. Yeah. Not a game. Practice. Talking about practice. Guy never gets old.
Dead rail. Gil, I have a 4-game parlay with the UCLA women, the Michigan men, Iga to win the French, and either UCLA or Texas to win the baseball championships. Tell me Iga isn't going to let me down, please. I would worry about UCLA and Texas in baseball first before I'd worry about Iga. But, hey, Iga starts tomorrow in the Italian Open. We'll learn more soon. That's how I'll put that. Russell Smith, big thanks to Towson quitting down 6-1-3-1 for a dog winner to become no action at my book. Angry emoji. Chuckism 1. What's up with all the Aaron Rodgers hate? I don't remember this attitude when Tom Brady was doing this in his 40s. Yeah, because one of them's Tom Brady and he was winning a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers seems to have the look at me, like it's all about me at all times. Tom Brady was busy giving out salary to other people, right? Mm. On the team. Aaron Rodgers is the guy who's like, all the attention must be on me at all points. So that's where my Aaron Rodgers dislike comes from.
And you know what? Mine is simply just from the, like, why do I have to, I'm constantly being talked down to by one of them. And the other one seems to show a lot of class and respect for almost everybody.
By the way, not that I'm a Tom Brady fan, but if you can't see the difference, I don't know what to tell you. Scott, New York, Mess 16. Country club and turned into the local dive bar today. Glow sticks turned into pool sticks. Sure did, man.
That's pretty good.
Sure did. Oh, Nevada Azer, you're so right. He says, I see the NBA's making us wait for Coach of the Year. Not even a word. Pure nonsense. This is so true.
It's crazy.
The NBA did all the FACACTA awards. They scheduled all those. FACACTA, by the way, Kelly. And then the big ones, Coach of the Year, MVP, we still have no schedule for these. We have no idea.
No idea.
If only an NBA reporter had the intellectual curiosity to find out that information for us. Doesn't work that way, apparently. James Sott.
Best you could do is kind of look up when it was announced the year before. We'll do that.
James Sott. Another update from Rome. Iga's coach blew out his Achilles. What does it say about me now that I think Gil first when I hear ruptured Achilles? Did he really? Did her coach blow out his Achilles? I didn't even hear that. Jed O'Connor, does Atkinson even have the testicular fortitude to sit Harden?
No, probably not.
Cavs offense is tough to watch as the Pistons offense, which is wild to think. Spida and Jimbo are allegedly great scorers. Allegedly, he says.
I love that question because that it's you have to have the stones to bench a future Hall of Famer.
A Hall of Famer. Yeah.
But like we were talking a little bit more off air about it. It's just at some point, like it's the Pistons are an offensively challenged team. James Harden, you're not helping out defensively very much. You can't turn the ball over seven times and give them easy buckets in transition. So I'm not saying it's happening tonight, but if you get another bad James Harden night, be on watch for it in game three.
This feels like a good time to bring in Hardwood Handicappers host Zach Cohen, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. He is the host of Hardwood Handicappers, which is Monday through Friday. Available new episodes Monday through Friday. You can follow him on Twitter at BettingOnX. We'll get to tennis with him, but let's start with basketball. Zach, good morning to you, sir. And there, by the way, you can scan the QR code if you want to subscribe to Hardwood Handicappers.
Yeah, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
You agree with Kelly about Harden? Like, it might be time for the old bencho?
I think that Harden played really well in the fourth quarter. I think he was very responsible, you know, for digging that hole for them. And, you know, obviously that was a major problem. The turnovers, you can't turn the ball over against this Pistons team. They're just not good enough offensively. And you don't want to give them anything easy. So it would be very, very, you know, crucial for them to, you know, take care of the basketball tonight. But I do think Cleveland's going to bounce back this evening. I took +3.5 -110. Mm. Also sprinkled some money line at +144. But full disclosure, I have Cleveland to win the series as well. So really just haven't adjusted kind of my priors here. And that is the thinking that Cleveland just a little bit too good offensively for this Detroit team. And it has not looked that way over the last couple of weeks, but I do not expect Tobias Harris to keep this up. I know, Gil, you like to talk about, you know, how you don't watch a lot of the regular season. So what you see in the playoffs is what you kind of make your opinions based off. But Harris has been a rough watch in the postseason throughout his career, and like 18 to 22 points a night for a guy that I think is more like 13 to 15. That should come down soon.
Yeah, I'm quite familiar with his, how can I put this, not realized contract play.
It is wild. Like, Zach, it is six straight games now. Nick Whalen brought this up with us yesterday, too. Yeah. Six straight of 20-plus. Like, things I don't normally talk about, but, like, do we just go, like, under and Martingale start doing this with Tobias Harris? Like, he's not going to keep this up. Like, the Pistons need him to, but I'm with you, Zach. Not a play for me yet, but I might jump on that and start doing that here every game.
Danny, do we have the Killer Sports Challenge standings? Well, go ahead, Zach. Say what you were saying.
I was going to say, I'd consider putting Harden on Tobias pretty much exclusively in this series. I feel like Harden is a player that has actually defended the post and the mid post pretty well throughout his career, and Harris isn't going to be running and cutting all that often. I wonder if they'll try that a little bit more.
Here are the VSiN Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge standings current. Now, remember, in the second round, everybody plays when they want to play, so not the same amount of games have been played. So you really should go to the loss column to look at what the real standings are. Look who's won! Look who's won back in the loss column. Look at that! Look at that guy is.
Yeah,
I see him there. He's listed as fifth, but he's really second.
Oh, that's a good call. Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, Zach's fallen, but he really hasn't. He's only really played hasn't. One. He's only played one in the second round.
So you're playing Cleveland in the contest, I would imagine. Then
I'm playing Cleveland in the contest. I'm looking into the Lakers and Thunder total, just going to see what type of number we get compared to the open. As of right now, we'd be getting a pretty good number on the over. Although I did make a costly error last night. I had the 76ers and the Spurs in like all day. All the injury news kind of freaked me out, and I ended up pulling it off, and I, you know, gave up two winners.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Scared. Yeah. Well, that's the puzzle that this is, right? Like the brain meld of this whole thing. How are you playing? Speaking of the Thunder and Lakers, how are you playing that game tonight?
I just have a couple of player props right now. I thought it was really concerning for the Lakers that for like three quarters of that game, they actually played very well. And in the end, they end up with 90 points and an 18-point loss. And OKC definitely has more to offer, especially SGA. I thought that was one of the quietest, you know, playoff games we've seen him play throughout his career. So not a great sign if you're the Lakers, although the spread is coming down. So it looks like there is some money on the Lakers somewhere. So maybe we will end up on plus 15.5 in the contest if this keeps coming down and that's the number. So I don't know. I'll consider it. But the play I do have right now, Rui Hachimura over 12.5 points at minus 111. Also took some Hachimura to score 15 plus at plus 150. He has just been pretty consistently scoring in like the 13 to 18 point range for like 3 or 4 weeks now. And he's had three games against OKC this season where he has scored at least 13 points. I think one of the things that you have with Hachimura is confidence, which not a lot of players on the Lakers have when you're just kind of thinking about shot making against a very good defense. So Hachimura is going to get his shots up, whether that's from three, whether that's mid post, whether that's driving. I think we're going to see him be a little bit aggressive here. And I think 13 points is a reasonable ask. So that's one of my plays for this evening, or I guess two. And I also played Jared McCain over 3.5 points. I got it at plus 106 last night. It's a worse number today, but I would still play it, and I would still play it over 4.5 if you had to. I think McCain is just going to play 15 minutes or so tonight like he did last game, and he is such a good three-point shooter against, you know, a defense that doesn't do a great job of scrambling that you could expect him to make his mark as a scorer at some point, even if it's in a very short period of time.
Who are these people betting the Lakers tonight? Not, I'm not saying you can't be right about this.
Yeah.
Maybe you end up as a winner, but I'm just saying, like, what's your theory?
Okay. I'm glad you brought it up like that, because I was sitting over here thinking there's kind of one aspect that you and I haven't talked about much. I'm sure Zach has talked about on Hardwood Handicappers, and it's mainstream media. I'm hearing it all over the place. It's Austin Reeves sucks. It's his third game back from injury. I think I'm giving him a bit of an excuse because of that. Like, I don't know how much we should be expecting from Austin Reeves. Zach, like, I don't know where you fall on that, but Gil and I have kind of taken the line of, man, they played about as well as you could expect in game one, and that was still the result. Should Austin Reeves be catching more heat for what happened game one?
I don't think he should be catching heat because, like you said, he's coming off a lengthy injury layoff. Hasn't really looked like himself since he came back, but I would expect him to start playing better at some point. Seeing the problem is that it's not even just like the lack of mobility, if there even is that. Mm-hmm. It's that you're going up against one of the best defensive backcourts in the entire NBA. And every single time you're looking to drive, you're driving on Dort, Wallace, you know, SGA is still a good defender, Caruso. Like, there's just no really good attackable options for him. And even pulling up Chet Holmgren with like a PNR isn't going to be very good for you either way. So I think this is a really tough series for him. I don't know what you saw in game one that makes you want to take the Lakers again. Maybe it was the fact that, you know, for a large portion of the game, they were there with them, but it only took, you know, a snap of a finger for OKC to pull away and put them away. And like I said, I think SGA is going to play better this time around. So not sure why you could be too confident there.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at. 69-65, sort of midway through the third quarter. And then the end of that, as you say, with SGA only scoring 18, which for him is just, super duper low. We'll get to some tennis from Zach. He's got some clay court tennis on the other side, and we'll ask him some thought exercise NBA questions as well. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, Gil Alexander, Bill Krakenberger, unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger, usually for an hour. I know, we ate into some crack time, but we thought it was worth it with Paul Menzies. Can you just indulge me for 30 seconds here, or maybe 45 seconds? We have had, you talk about other sports being frustrating to bet. How about this for this morning? So in our four tennis bets, one of them, a withdrawal, so that doesn't count. So it goes down to three bets. Oleksandra Oleynikova was up 6-1, 3-1 on Clara Towson. We're on Oleynikova. Clara Towson walks off the court with an injury. So if you didn't bet it at a full, if you didn't bet it at a one set shop, instead of coasting to victory, up 6-1, 3-1, it's a refund. So we have a win taken away from us by that. Then we just had a match, and this has been going on the entire show. We had Katerina Siniakova versus Anna Kolinskaya. This is a new record for me. Katerina Siniakova, who we were betting on, had 9 match points. 9. She squandered every one of them, and we lose the match in 3.
That's impossible. I guess it's not impossible.
I know
too
you're,
strong of a word.
I know your sports keisterize you. Nothing keisterizes you more than tennis can. It's just it's brutal. Instead of a 2-0, somehow you're 0-1. It's incredible. Ay, ay, ay. That's going to leave a mark. Anyway, thanks.
One of the worst ones? One of the worst beats?
I've never had a match. I can remember a Ludmila Samsonova match where it was 8 set points, I want to say.
Right.
But 9 match, I think 6 was my previous match point squandered record. 6 or 7. Oh, never 9. It's never been like this. That's incredible.
Wow.
What do you say?
You know, and to go back to Paul.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought he would be the expert guest, and he was. He was great. I think he was really good at the way he explained it, especially going to the window and going to cash your ticket for $100 and you're only getting $50 back.
Yeah.
Said, wait, what happened here?
What happened?
That's, you know, trying to draw a parallel to what us horse bettors go through compared to us sports bettors. Now, on a good note, I absolutely loved that Sherry DeVoe. And I wanted to ask Paul, and I forgot. Darn it. I thought it was so good for horse racing. First female trainer to ever win a Kentucky Derby. The videos they showed of her and her sisters, and I believe her daughter, went, wow, she was like riding the horse. I thought it was so cool for the horse racing game. And the overhead shot of turning for home.
Incredible.
How I don't think we'll ever see a horse again. Dead last in a, was there 20 horses? I think it was 22.
20 horses.
And then one got scratched or something. I don't think we'll ever see a horse go from dead last like that, turning for home, to go outside around all the other 20 horses and beat and win the Derby. And just think about that. I wanted to ask Paul. He would know more than me. You're taking so many more steps going outside that horse than going inside and saving steps, more ground. What an amazing feat for the horse. And I wanted to ask him also, they just announced yesterday the horse is skipping the second round at Pimlico. And people were very upset. People were saying, well, that's the reason why I watched these Triple Crown.
Yes.
And so people are very upset. But I think is it supposedly the better decision for the horse?
Absolutely it is. According to horse folks, absolutely it is. By the way, also Golden Tempo, you know, the manner in which it won the Derby is not conducive to the shorter track at Laurel, right?
Okay.
Or the shorter race here, the second leg of the Triple Crown.
Well, I didn't even know.
But to your bigger point, I have made the point that you just made, which is, all right, horse racing, we all agree, right? It was a huge sport in the 70s. It is a sport that is dying with the generations, right? You're not going to walk out in this casino, run into a random 23-year-old and be like, what do you think about the Derby? They're not going to have an opinion on it, typically, right? So in addition to all that we talked about with Paul Matisse about now they're messing with the betting, right, which is going to peel off, if you're to believe the Felica sentiment, it's going to peel off a bunch of folks who have been betting for a long time. They're just not going to bet anymore, or they're going to significantly reduce their bet size, but probably just not bet at all. The Triple Crown thing is a big point, because for casuals who might gravitate towards, I'll use my buddy Tommy in D.C. Tommy is Mr. Average sports fan who loves football, and everything else is kind of like, oh, yeah, it's the NBA Finals. Oh, yeah, it's the World Series. Right, that guy, right? Tommy shows up for the Triple Crown.
Oh,
if there's no Triple Crown possibility, he could not care less about the Preakness or the Belmont.
Okay.
And I think he is reflective of many, many hundreds of thousands, if not a few million Americans, maybe millions more, who are just like, oh, if you're not going to do that anymore, and I get it for all your horse reasons, you want to protect the horse, breeding is way more money than these specific races are, but the notion that you are now removing the Triple Crown from the equation as more of the rule than the exception, that's also killing the sport, in my opinion, in terms of if you ever wanted to expand it. So, I mean, this sport, man.
Yeah.
Is getting all wrong.
And is it going to affect the casual fan like myself?
Yeah.
I actually went to Saratoga like 21 years in a row for Haskell. Oh, no, it's in the Traverse. The Traverse. I went there with a bunch of friends 21 years in a row. I was back east. And I went to Del Mar many years, the Del Mar racetrack. It's a very fun social thing for me. I bet $5 or $10 a race. And guess what? I'm still going to do it probably. Yeah. And we throw a pool together to bet a pick five, I think it is. We just have some fun. But for the guy that goes to the track every day that was already getting grinded out, that now it's even going to hurt you even more. Yeah. So great questions on Twitter here. Thank you, guys.
Do we want to recap bets, guys, real quick? Do we want to do that? Are we contractually obligated to do that? Okay. The tennis was enough, I think, for everybody. Kelly's basketball, can we at least do that? Did Kelly have any plays tonight in basketball? Nothing? Nothing specific? Let's just do Zach's. Zach's had today. Zach Cohen, by the way, mine, Mariners, most wins, May. Zach Cohen's basketball plays. Cavaliers, +3.5 tonight versus the Pistons. He is a Cavs guy directionally long-term here in the playoffs. He likes the Cavs plus the points tonight versus the Pistons. He also has sprinkled the Cavs on the money line tonight, +144 versus the Pistons. Rui Hachimura of the Lakers over 12.5 points versus the Thunder. Also, Hachimura, 15-plus points at +150 for half a unit versus the Thunder. And Jared McCain over 3.5 points for the Thunder versus the Lakers. How did they let Jared McCain go, by the way? To the Thunder. It's unbelievable. Daryl Morey's like, sure, I have him. Yes.
Did you see one of the tweets there? Nine match points. Wow. Even I know what that. I mean, I'm not even a tennis player. I know that just nine different times. Whew. Probably can't happen again.
It numbs you. Yeah. Like, you can't even speak afterwards.
I'm sorry to bring it back up to you again.
That's all right.
PK Mountain Steel, one of the guys that said it, Bavette's is awesome. So happy for the entire park. Yes. Park MGM smoke-free. And you know what? They thought that was just going to be an experiment. As you could see,
yes.
The casino is packed.
Yes.
Smoke-free just may casino. Work. It just may work. And, you know, he also said Bardot at the Aria. I've never been there for brunch on the weekends.
Which place?
Bardot, B-A-R-D-O.
Oh, yeah, Brasserie Bardot.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Bardot Brasserie, pardon me. I don't know. I didn't go for brunch, but
I feel like
we're
so bougie talking about
these bougie things. Duo all of a sudden.
You're going to miss Carbone next week, by the way. You're leaving.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'll miss that one. I'm sure I'll be back for another.
Yes, you'll be back for the one at Bellagio.
Although, I have not done Carbone Riviera. Let me read some tweets here on the way out here. This is from folks. Sweet Lou Monaco, thanks so much for having Paul on. Explained perfectly for knuckleheads like myself. Keep getting it, crack. Keep winning. Montreal Max. That was too much serendipity, as while I was typing my question for Paul, he drifted right into talking about the sport of kings. That was such a beautiful property, but boy, did they ever get their ass busted with arrogance that they could beat anyone. J-Bub, personal opinion, but I believe another factor in the last 2 years of the Derby winner not going to the Preakness is the Belmont being run at Saratoga at a shorter distance tainted the idea of the Triple Crown, asterisk for sure. And on with these. Paul Nelson, my friend was playing Churchill Downs last week Wednesday. He had this happen to him, 7-2, a minute to post, 3-1 in the gate, 7-5 crossing the wire. That's a heck of a cut in your ROI. TVG is now FanDuel Racing, and they only have a few advantage races a day. Sir Dub, I don't think I can take WTA tennis anymore. It's taken years off my life. This girl dominated that match.
Wow.
Bro.
512-1. Fez just said, if you have a knife, can you stick it in Gil's side? 512-1 to lose that type of a situation.
Keep going, guys. I'll be dead by the end of the show.
Wow.
We only got a minute left. It's coming. Live on air.
Jesus, that's bad. It's a bad way to end it. But however, you'll be back.
Kevin Ryan is speaking. I know we get this. We really appreciate having Paul Matisse. I know crack is our most beloved. Kevin Ryan speaks for those for a segment of the audience. Gil, that guest was very interesting. However, We want to hear Crack every Thursday for the entire hour.
I'll be back in a couple weeks. Gil's off next week.
All right. Crack's back in a couple weeks. We'll have him for the entire hour. Promise you that. Billy, thank you as always.
No problem. Great segment. And it's just great to know that what's going on in the horse race game. We have one of the experts saying it and talking about it, so that's great.
Dude, you're like you're the best guest getter ever. We appreciate it.
Cool.
Prop points. We've done all we can do. Prop points is next. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson. That'll be from 1 to 2 Eastern, followed by Money Moves, JVT and Stormy. Stormy will be on the show tomorrow in addition to Fezzik and Felica. And follow the money with Mitch and Paul after that. That's your day on VSiN. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.